welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. As with the Lord's help, we will conclude the message we've been sharing the last number of days on the power of prevailing prayer. We have looked at the lessons that we can learn from the life of Jacob, a very important time in his life. After 20 years of being blessed when he was with his uncle Laban, he is going back to his homeland, and as he is going, receives word that his brother Esau, who had vowed to kill him 20 years before, was coming with 400 men. He was in a desperate time, and we see that the angel of the Lord, the incarnate Christ, basically said, "You have." In fact, let me read that, verse 28. He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And as we looked at yesterday, power with man means that we can, if we are willing to be as humbled, as persevering, as adamant as Jacob was, we are going to see results in the temporal realm that we live in. We will see it affect relationships, and the dramatic point, I'm not going to take the time to go over it again, but Jacob, in not knowing what to expect when he saw Esau, basically it said Esau ran to meet him. He initiated that, embraced him, fell on his neck, kissed him, and they wept together. Obviously, that was a miraculous intervention of God. And so if we want to see God fulfill His purpose in our lives, in the lives of those we love and care about, in the lives of ministries, in the lives of individuals that God brings our way, we have to be as willing to pray and intercede that we can see their heart changed. And then power with God, of course, that refers to struggling in intercession. He transitioned from his own personal situation and those his family. I mean, his whole, everything he had was at stake. His life, the life of his family, his possessions. But he was an example, if you will, of the bride of Christ who would manifest by his wholehearted commitment and tenacity and understanding of God's eternal purposes. He was struggling and he surpassed his literal concern, those personal needs, and he connected with the desires of an eternal God who was wanting to have a family for himself. And that's, you know, the plan of the ages. That was why Jesus came, suffered and died, so mankind could be redeemed back to the heart of God. And so Jacob was, he lay hold, he showed to the Lord that he was grasping God's divine purposes. And that's what we need to come to, that place in our lives where we'll allow God to transform us so much that we will identify with God's purposes. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." That was the food. What's more important than food in order to sustain life? You can go for a little while, but not very long without food in the natural. And so If we will earnestly desire what God desires, beloved, then God will be able to entrust us with real spiritual authority. I believe personally, and have for years, that's one of the reasons we haven't seen revival in this country, is because God was waiting for us, the body of Christ, to go through that transformation where we're no longer carnal, but we are walking in the Spirit. And what is the conclusion of the whole matter? Well, we don't have to stay in the pages of the Old Testament. Very clearly it says in Revelation 5:10, "And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." We will then be able to be entrusted with true spiritual authority. Let's look at some of the words of Jesus. In Matthew 7:6, he said, "The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." What does that mean? That Greek word by force is harpazo. It means to strip, to spoil, to snatch, literally to seize upon by force. We can't have a bunch of mealy-mouthed, weak, insipid soldiers of Christ. We have to be warriors in God. It's an open act of violence. That's what that is. Contrasted to cunning and secret thieving. We must grasp as earnestly as Jacob did the pardon, the forgiveness, the restoration and blessedness of the kingdom of heaven with as much eagerness as a thief or a man would snatch and carry off as their own the spoil of a conquered city. Can you grasp that? That kind of passion and zeal and intensity? Jesus walked in that. When he turned over the tables of the money chambers, they remembered, "The zeal of thine house," as it was written in Scripture, "hath eaten me up." Can we be as possessed with the passion and fervency and intensity that possessed Jesus, that possessed Jacob, Israel? Beloved, we are Israel, spiritual Israel. There's one. God is bringing together in one new man, Jews and Gentiles. Beloved, we're no longer a Jew. We're no longer Gentile. It's a new man in Christ Jesus. That's some pretty powerful revelation. Just think about that. I'm not going to go further down that road. Anyway, God's plan. What did he say when his disciples came to him and they said, "Lord, show us how to pray"? He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so, beloved, Jacob is our example. A man less committed would have tired, would have given up. In fact, he continued to wrestle with his thigh out of joint. I can't imagine with, you know, that's a dislocated thigh. What? Okay, have you ever had anything dislocated? That, it hurts. I am certain of that. And beloved, hear me now. For you and I to truly become partakers of his divine nature, for us to really possess power with God, to walk in the authority and realm of the Spirit he wants us to, I'm telling you, I wish it wasn't this way. The flesh doesn't like it, but there is a price to pay. There's a price to pay in our flesh, in physical, emotional suffering, humiliation before our peers, persecution, whatever it is, there's tribulation we have to go through. I'm not talking about the work of the enemy. He's given us power over the work of the enemy. But in order to partake of the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, what are the things that Jesus cried for? What were the, he wept for Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would gather thee as a hen does her chicks." Listen, we have to understand God's heart, how he weeps for those who are bound in Satan's deceptions and delusions, how he's looking for us, his body, to go out into all the world. I mean, he's not giving us a specific plan. He's saying, just go out there and preach. Beloved, you're not responsible for the results. You are responsible to deliver the truth in love. That's all we are to do. God alone knows the heart of men, but this is what we have to do. And so there is a price to pay. And just as Jacob, he was transformed, so will we be permanently affected the rest of our lives and bear the marks of that divine encounter. Jacob's limp, as well as his name change, gave evidence to the fact that he was a changed man. The shriveling of his sinew, if it was in the thigh, it was a symbol, if you will, symbolical of the shriveling of his self-life or the ego. We all need that, beloved. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's it. That's where it's at. There's no other message. Those who serve the devil are his servants. They're his slaves. And all those, listen to me now. Some say, no, I don't want to go there. That's too hard. But I know some of you listening, that's all you want with all of your heart. And so all those whom God conquers are princes. And I would ask you, does your walk, your conversation show that you are a prince with God by bearing the mark of a life that is totally surrendered to Him? At the end of that chapter, it was sunrise. That bespeaks the dawning of a new and definite experience with God. The Son of God's light and power will immediately rise upon us when we have yielded ourselves entirely to the will of God. Psalm 4 and 6 says, "Lift thou up upon me the light of thy countenance." Father, I thank you for this high calling you've given us. And so I ask God that you would give us the grace and the strength to be able to persevere, to endure, to partake of the sufferings of Christ, that we can see your will done on earth as it is in heaven. For the Lord would say, "Fear not, beloved. I know your heart. I know your desires before me, and it is I that am working in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. It rests not in your ability or your strength." Did not Paul say, "When he was weak, then he was strong"? It is my power flowing in and through you, says your God. And you shall stand in praise and awe and in honor of me, for you shall see me do a work that the arm of flesh could never accomplish. But it shall be not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. I feel God's precious presence. And I know that as each of us are being moved by the Spirit of God, He's going to bring us into the secret place of the Most High, into a place with Him where there truly is power with God. Well, we will understand, the carnal Christian may not, but God has always had and is going to have in these last days a remnant who love Him more than life itself and will be used mightily of Him to fulfill His purposes and to see the last great harvest brought in for His glory. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.